All right. This is Sunday, September the 18th, 2022. And we are in the next to last lesson in this series of lessons from the book of 1 Timothy entitled, Where is Your Church Going? Where is your church going? Last week we talked about treating your pastor right. Treating your pastor right. And this week, lesson number 12, it's entitled, Labor Relations, God's Way. Labor Relations, God's Way. Most of us work for a living, okay? And you've worked probably since you were out of high school. Maybe you may have worked while you were in high school, in college, and all those things. If you got married, you've worked, okay? You stay married, you work, okay? The reason Buck and Cheryl are such good relationship, one sits over here and one sits over here. He's got a gun now with security, so I mean, you know, he's good, okay? But 28 years, they've been married now. That's a miracle, I tell you. You don't see that very often anymore. Commitment. And not many people are willing to be committed to anything, it seems like, anymore. But you know what? God enables us to have a job, a workplace. And you know, this work issue today, everywhere you go, they're saying, help wanted, help wanted. We went to Arby's the other night. It was late. And we went to Arby's for supper. And you couldn't get in. And the reason you couldn't get in was they had one little fella in there operating the drive-through. And had one little person inside cooking the food, and that was it. And when we went through the drive-thru, we ordered our meal. He said, it's going to be about 5 minutes, 6 minutes before you can get it. He said, if you can just park down there, we'll bring it out to you. And I said, well, that's fine. And I looked over at Lisa, and I think Danny ordered a chicken melt or something. I said, Danny, they got to chase down the chicken. That's what's taking them so long, so it'll be out. So we went down and we parked, and I noticed a little fella that did the drive-through. He brought the food out to us. I said, brother, are you in here by yourself? And he said, no, I've got somebody in here tonight helping me. He said, but we just don't have any help, and we can't find anybody that wants to work. And I thought, my goodness, this is sad. You know, we got a world of opportunity to work and make some money, and you can't find folks that want to do that. And so I gave the guy a gospel tract, and he told me he was a Christian, but he said, I'm here working 7 days a week, every day, 7 days a week. And I thought, my goodness, you know, what a privilege we have to work, to have jobs. You know, the first thing God did when he created man was gave him a job. I don't know if you realize that or not, but he put him in the garden, and he said, now you're to take care of what I have given unto you. And not many people want to do that today. Most people want things just given to them, and they don't want to have to do anything with it. They don't want to take care of it. Give them a new place to live, and pretty soon they'll have it all torn up and want something better. But listen, we need to look at labor relations God's way today. God has a plan. And within the church body, we as believers, we need to have a good testimony about our work ethics. You know, wherever we work, I remember working in the public field for 16 years. I worked at the Winston-Salem Industries for the Blind. We trained blind people to do work for the government. We did work for the government. And federal and state, local, and built things. And we had to engineer fixtures and things like that so a blind person could do the work, meet the federal qualifications or the state qualifications or specifications, and still do it at a competitive price and do those things. And I worked there for 16 years. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I went there as a production control clerk, which basically meant you did whatever the boss said do, okay? I learned to drive a big truck and all this other stuff there, loaded boxcars, unloaded box, took inventory, all kinds of stuff. Worked my way up through the field and worked in the plant, worked up through supervision, up through management. And when I left there in 1993. I was serving as a vice president of operations, and I enjoyed the work. I loved it. But when God called me to preach and he laid it on my heart to go full time, that's what I did. And I worked, a 2-month, 3-month notice with it, and did what we needed to do to get people trained for it. But I enjoyed the work there. And when we went into the full-time service of the Lord there at the little church we were at, my wife and I, we served there. I served as associate pastor and learned to do different things in the ministry. And God trained me there, practical application in the ministry. My wife later worked in the school. And then I became principal of school and worked the bus ministry and things like that. We cleaned the church. We were the cleaners in the church, my family and I, so we could have insurance. They put us on the church insurance if we could do the work there and keep up, cleaning the church and things like that. So that's what we did. And my son, he loved to clean the toilets. Oh, he loved to clean the toilets. He'd flush and flush and flush and just clean it and love to do it. And my wife and daughter would go around and they'd dust everything, clean up things. I was the vacuum man, okay? I was the sucker of the group, okay? And I sucked up all the dirt and cleaned up everything around there, and we did things like that. But you know what? We enjoyed it. And it's like I've told our folks here that work with the maintenance thing. I try to always encourage them and try to encourage them for the fact that, listen, what you are doing, you're doing for the Lord. And folks, whether you work a public job or you work in the church ministry or you work as a volunteer somewhere, whatever you do, you need to do it as unto the Lord. You need to give it unto God. That's what the lesson is dealing with here today. I want you to look at our scripture verse, our theme verse today for the lesson. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said here, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And I want to ask you this morning, are we working for Jesus while we're working at work? Are you working for Jesus as you work at work? Now in the lesson, I think I put a little something different in there. I put in there, am I glorifying God where I work? But I got to thinking about this, and I changed it during the week. Am I working for Jesus while I'm working at work? Wherever you go, you are a servant of God. You and I are servants of God. And I don't know if you realize the fact, but after saving us, God made each of us to become a witness for Him. No matter where we live, no matter where we work, no matter where we play, no matter what we do, we are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And many Christians have the idea that only those who are called into full-time Christian ministry, okay, only those who are called into the full-time ministry are to be considered full-time servants for the Lord. But I want to say something to you today. You are a full-time servant for the Lord wherever you work, wherever God plants you. And as the old fellow said, you and I are to bloom where we have been planted by God. Hey, listen, if you work with people, you need to be a witness for the Lord. If you work with machines, you need to be a witness for the Lord. Listen, if you work with equipment or you work whatever realm that you work in, you are to be a witness for Christ. As a matter of fact, God has placed us in the specific area where God can best use us to be that witness. It may be in a home. It may be, you know, at school. You may be a teacher. How many of you are teachers or work in the school ministry of any sort, public or Christian, private, whatever? Hold up your hand. Don't be ashamed, okay? All right, great. Hey, yeah. There are many of you that you have witness opportunities, and God just puts you in a witness area. You see, the Bible said over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and maybe you might want to just make a note of this scripture verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible said this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, you do the best that you can. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, God's word says this, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That means do it happily. Do it from your heart as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know what? That makes your job important, whatever you do. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, we used to always say this when we went to the wilds. Before we had breakfast, we quoted this Bible verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And folks, that is our job. In Ephesians, I'm just going to give these to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 5 through 8, Paul wrote there and he said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You serve God on your job. You do your best from your heart. And listen to what else he said. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So folks, you see this morning, God holds your job especially important for your witness unto him. Now, some of you said, but I'm retired. Okay, all right, that's good. If you're married, you won't be retired very long, okay? Because your wife will have something for you to do there. I'm sure of that, okay? Don, can you attest to that, brother? Amen. Yes, amen. I remember, yeah, he's just tired now. He's not retired, he's just tired. But you know, here's the great thing about it. Even at home, you can be a witness for Christ. Wherever you may go, I say this so that you can understand that we have a testimony to display for the Lord whatever job God gives us to do for him. And I want us to look at this morning. There are many that I remember when I worked in the public business, there were many folks that said that they were Christians, okay? But every 2 hours, they took their smoke break and went outside and looked like a choo-choo train outside. On fire for Jesus, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, they would go out there. One got dismissed for cheating on the job. I know another lady that sang in a group, a Christian group, and got caught stealing multitudes of mega bucks. She was a bookkeeper and took money from that business and got in all kinds of trouble, jail time, I'm talking about, all kinds of things for doing something that was not right. But she told everybody she was a Christian in doing these things. And boy, it put a bad name on Christianity. Now, understand this. Nobody's perfect. I understand that. Nobody's perfect. But you know what, folks? We still have a testimony to hold up before the people that we work with and work beside and even work for. We have a testimony for Christ that we have to uphold. And if a person who names the name of Christ is always late for the job, or they're caught taking more time than what they're supposed to take for lunch or break or whatever they do, you know, that's detrimental to your personal testimony as well as to the testimony of Christ. It's not a good testimony. And the Bible talks about if the work that you perform on your job displays the fact that you are lazy or you're careless about your work or you show forth an attitude of disrespect all the time for your supervisor, that's a bad testimony. It's better that you just didn't tell anybody that you were saved. It would be better for you not to even mention the name of Christ if you're going to do like that than to do something that's going to bring shame and blaspheme the name of our Lord. That's just the way that the Bible says. We are responsible for the testimony that we have. And God has a right way of doing things. And I want you to see this today in this lesson. In the Apostle Paul's day, Christianity affected every aspect of life, especially in the work and the home place. There were people getting saved that had never heard the gospel, found out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for them. And people were getting saved. In the days of the Roman dominion, when Rome conquered everything and they ruled everything, you were either rich and powerful or you were not. And many of the people that needed jobs were counted as slaves. They worked like slaves. They were slaves to the job force. But many of these people were looked on as just not important at all by their employers, by those people that brought them in to pay them for doing the job. They treated them very badly. And as Christianity spread out through that known world at that time, both the masters, or what we would call supervisors, bosses, employers, they were getting saved, as well as the slaves, what they called slaves, the servants, the employees, and there were new relations being built between these people now because they came to know Christ as their Savior. And because these people's lives were so changed, many of the owners of those slaves, so often referred to as masters, okay, they came to know Christ, and it created a new challenge, not only for the church, but for the workplace. How would I treat these employees? How would I treat these slaves now? How would I want to be treated if I were one and I had a boss or a master that was not yet a slave or a Christian? So Paul reminded both factions over in the book of Galatians. I was reading this week and I looked at this verse and I thought, man, there's something here we need to remember. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, he wrote this. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, he's saying that because the Jews and the Greeks were always butting heads. They hated one another, okay? The Jews and the Gentiles. Anybody that wasn't a Jew, the Jews hated. Anybody that was a Jew, the Greeks, the Gentiles, they all hated. And they fought all the time. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. And that's not talking about what the world talks about today, but it's talking about one considering themselves better than the other or treating the other badly because of what they are. You know, the men there still over in that area treat their women very badly. There are some things that, man, they just treat them bad. And there is confusion about how they would treat one another. But then he says, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You're to treat one another the same in Christ Jesus. The question was, how would these facts affect the labor relations on the job? What would change on the job now that folks are getting saved? How is a saved, born-again slave, how are they supposed to treat their master? And how are those masters that were so cruel sometimes to their slaves, to their servants, how are they now that they were saved to treat those people that they hired, they employed? And this is where the Holy Spirit of God has Paul write these things. Why? To help the church to have a right relationship. People here work. Everybody works. But we need to know how we treat people, what our responsibilities are at work, both at home, on the job, wherever we go. We need to see that. It's an aspect of living. So first of all, God has Paul write to Timothy, dealing with the unbelieving employer. The unbelieving employer. Now look at it here in verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, what type of spiritual attitude should a believing slave, a born-again slave, have with an unbelieving master? What were they supposed to do now? Well, according to verse number 1 here, that servant, that worker, okay, I look at this, let as many servants as are under the yoke. That's what an employee is today, okay? We're under the yoke, so to speak. We are under somebody's supervision when you're working for someone. How is that servant, that worker, how are they to treat their master, their supervisor, their boss, okay? They're supposed to treat them according to what God is telling through the Apostle Paul's writing. They're supposed to treat them worthy of all honor. You're supposed to honor that boss. You're supposed to honor that supervisor, whether that supervisor is saved or lost. Now, why is that? You say, well, preacher, why have I got to treat them kindly and love them and in the Lord? And why do I do that? Because, number one, because you're saved. You're supposed to have a different attitude. Look at the last part of verse number 1. It says, so that the name of God and his doctrine, God's word, God's teachings, God's way of doing things, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That means that you're not supposed to say one thing and do something different. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, it's not an easy thing to do, especially when a boss is not saved, a supervisor is not saved, especially when that person is rude and crude and obviously has no regard for his workers whatsoever. That's a hard thing to deal with. I've been there. I understand that. But you know what? According to God's word, it's the right thing to do. And let me tell you something. You'll never go wrong doing what God's word says do. You'll never go wrong. But the question is, how can it be accomplished? All right, number one, I want you to understand something. Number one, we need to live our lives, whether at home or at work, according to biblical principles. Not simply according to our feelings or what other people may say you ought to do. I remember working in the plant, and I remember people not liking having to work, okay? Or the job that they were having to do was very difficult. There were safety issues we had to deal with, especially with the blind people. There were safety issues. We had to go overboard, so to speak, with safety issues to make sure they didn't get hurt and make sure the job was kept safe. But you know, there are biblical principles that we had to abide by. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is one of those principles. I don't know if you remember it or not, but it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways not in some of them, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know what? When you put your faith and trust in God and say, Lord, I don't like this, but I'm going to do it for you anyway. We watched last night. We've got a little video thing through Sight and Sound. And we watched last night. I was tired. I was hot. And we'd eaten some lunch. I went back out and spent time mowing the yard and getting everything finished out. And I came back in, took me a shower, changed clothes, sat down in the recliner. Precious sat on my lap. And she had her bone and I got my bone. And I about fell asleep. But we sat there and watched a Sight and Sound presentation last night about Joseph. And Joseph is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph had been mistreated by family. Joseph was mistreated by his boss, his master. He got thrown in jail for something he didn't even do. He was accused of doing something he didn't do. But Joseph kept his heart right with God. And you know what? I want my life to be that way. You should want your life to be that way. And when we trust God, God takes care of it. Listen, I think about great men of God, such as Joseph, as Daniel, as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I think about these men of God that came forth victorious because they placed their faith and trust in God and they kept their testimony for the Lord in even the roughest of situations. So number one, we got to live according to biblical principles. Number two, we've got to acknowledge the fact and the reality of injustice in this world. There's injustice in this world. People treat people wrong. They do that. Why do lost people do what lost people do? Because they're lost. Because they don't know any better things to do. Many of these folks are survivors and they'll do whatever they got to do to survive. We watched, my wife and I watched a thing on the History Channel a couple months ago. And these people were exploring, trying to get to California. And they got stuck going through the snowy areas and stuff like that. They had no food, no anything. Their friend, the Donner, I think it's Donner's. Yeah, and they ended up eating one another. I looked at my wife. I said, honey, you're sweet, but you're not that sweet. I can tell you that right now. But you know what? They did things you never thought they'd end up doing. But folks, listen to me today. Our world today is filled with injustice. But the Bible still says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of the judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regarded, and there be higher than they. You know what? There are many times people do things that are wrong. They're in supervision. I went through this, and man, I was almost fired because I did what God said do, which meant I could not do what my supervisor said do. And when I stood, I got in trouble. I got reprimanded for doing that. And I thought, Lord, I've done what you said do. I've done what you said do. And now I'm getting punished for that. And it wasn't but just a few months later that supervisor was terminated from his job because he was caught doing things that were wrong. And they let him go. Folks, there is one higher than they. And that's the Lord God who sees all that we do. Do what's right. Acknowledge the fact, the reality. There are things in this world that are not right. Number three, never forget that God made your boss, okay, in his image. And he is a man or a woman just like you. Listen. They still need to see and hear the gospel so that they can be saved. And you may be the only Bible that they ever read. You may be the only one that they ever read. Number four, you need to recognize your boss's authority over you as God has ordained. You know what? God placed those people over you because that's God's way of doing things. God has a way. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, Paul wrote this. He said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." That's why you need to pray for that boss. I would write letters to each of them, especially at Christmas time, and give them the gospel. I never will forget, we were having Desert Storm, Desert Shield, it started out as, and then Desert Storm, we got into that production. We were making things for the military and things like that. We were working three shifts a day. Basically, they were working 7 days a week. And I would go in on Sunday morning early just to cut machinery on and things like that and have it ready because my boss said you had to be there. And he said, "You got to stay all day." I said, "I can't stay all day. I've got a Sunday school bus I drive. I teach a Sunday school. I've got 125 children I teach in a children's church. I've got to take those folks back home." I said, "I'll make sure everything is on. I'll make sure everything is off when I get done. But that's the best I can do." And he gave me an ultimatum about that. And long story short, I ended up leaving and going full time because God had a plan for my life. But you know what, folks? Listen. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke," he said, "count their own masters worthy of all honor." I still counted him as my boss. And I had to do what was right, but I still knew that he was the one that was put over me. Number five, examine your own actions toward those in authority over you. You need to observe your own actions. You need to go back and say, "Is this what God would have me to do?" I'm going to give you a scripture here. I don't have time to read it to you, but it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. And this reminds us that we're to give our best and we're to examine ourselves before the Lord. Number six, keep your eyes on Jesus during those difficult times with your boss. Keep your eyes on Jesus during those difficult times with your boss. Why? Because as Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Number seven, I'm just giving you these as I came up with them. But you need to express all your grievances. Any of you have ever had a grievance at work? You got a problem at work? You need to express those grievances to your supervisor, to your boss, to your master, respectfully and graciously. You got to do it in the right way. Don't go in there and cuss out your boss and expect him to want to hear you tell him how to go to heaven when he dies, okay? It's not going to happen. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings." In other words, when it's break time, you're sitting out there with the rest of the employees. Don't sit out there and criticize everybody, okay? Listen, I learned what the job entailed, and then I learned in supervision what I didn't know when I was on the job. There are a lot of things that go on that you have to deal with. And so you do it without murmuring, without disputing. Number eight, respectfully refuse to participate in all unethical activities on the job site. When I traveled with my company, we would go down to Earth City, Missouri, or up here to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. We dealt with Defense Personnel Support Center. We dealt with the General Services Administration. And they all had these activity times where they went in and they drank and things like that. And I was young in the job at it. I didn't know what they were going to be doing. I didn't know. And the colonel brought us to his home one night. And he said he's going to show home movies. And I'm thinking home movies, okay, your children and things like that. Grandma, you know, the Three Stooges, things like that. You know, that's how naive I was about some of this stuff. He took us down this basement. And they had a big fancy meal upstairs. And of course, they had liquor and beer and things like that. And I didn't participate in any of that. We went downstairs. And he set up his VCR, okay, his TV and his VCR. He's going to show a movie. And when I sat there and I saw what this caption thing was coming up, I thought, Lord, this is not, I can't be here. Lord, I can't sit here and watch this. God, what am I going to do? My boss is sitting here. The colonels are sitting here. You know, we're in his house. And I think they set this up to see what I was going to do. And I'm sitting here beside the sliding glass doors thinking, God, do I go out? What do I do? Because I'm in a terrible situation. And I said, Lord, please, you know I did not come in here to do this. You know my heart, dear God. Please, get me out of this situation. And as I looked out across the yard and across the housing area there, I noticed some clouds coming up in the background. And the clouds got darker and darker. And as he put this stuff in and they were all drinking and carrying on, and it started telling what the name of the film was he was going to be showing. And I thought, Lord, I cannot watch this. I'm looking down at the ground. I'm not watching this. I don't know what to do. God sent a lightning storm like I have never seen before. And all of a sudden, the lightning struck. I don't know where it struck, but I know what it did. It cut out all the power. The TV and the VCR began to smoke. I kid you not. It began to smoke. And everybody got scared. The colonel says, hold on, the power will be on in just a few minutes. No power came on. It got hot downstairs. The air conditioning, everything went out. Make a long story short, I went upstairs and there was another lieutenant colonel that was there. I was standing out front just thanking God. It was raining. It had cooled the temperatures down. I was thanking God for what he had done for me. And he came out and he said, man, I'm so glad to be out of that place. And I said, man, I was praying that God would get us out. And he said, don't tell anybody, but the colonel's VCR burned up and the video that was in it is melted inside. They can't even get it out. I thought, thank you, Lord. Listen, you need to determine that you're going to respectfully refuse to participate in those things that are not right. The stories I could tell you, I don't have time. But when you put God first, he takes care of the rest of it. Amen. You need to treat your unbelieving masters righteously. But number two, you need to treat the believing employer as a brother in Christ. Now let me say this real quick, and I don't have time to go through all this, but you need to treat them right. Don't expect an easy job just because your boss is a Christian. He still expects a job to get done. Don't be lazy with him and say, well, we're brothers in Christ. Give me a break here. That's not the way we do this. We still give them the right job. We do everything we're supposed to be doing. There is a result of error, and there is a result of truth. And I don't have time to go through these today. I'll go through this with you next week as we finish out our last lesson. But folks, I'm just saying this to you today. There is a way to do things on the workplace. It's either God's way or it's not God's way. And we need to do it God's way. God's labor relations are found right here in the Word of God. And if you've got a doubt about it, go back and read this chapter this week and you'll find out. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I apologize, Lord, for being so long on this lesson, but Lord, this is one that is important. They're all important. And God, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to have the right labor relations on our job sites. Lord, whatever we do, if we're in self-employment or whatever, God, help us to have a good testimony for you. And help us, Lord, to have a good testimony with those that are over us, and especially those that are under us as well. And Lord, if there be someone here today that's not saved or not living for you, don't know you as their own personal Savior, God, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to their heart and help them to see their need of a Savior. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.